Israel and Judah. Chapter 2. The Kingdom Divided. In this lesson we have the climax of the trouble for which the later years of reign had been preparing the way. 4. King Solomon loved many strange women, and he had 700 wives. For it came to pass, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, Forasmuch as this is done of you, and you have not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded you, I will surely rend the kingdom from you, and will give it to your servant. Notwithstanding in your days I will not do it for David your father's sake, but I will rend it out of the hand of your son. Howbeit I will not rend away all the kingdom, but will give one tribe to your son for David my servant's sake, and for Jerusalem's sake which I have chosen. It had been only 120 years since Saul was anointed king, and yet the evil results of having a king, which the Lord pointed out to the people at the time, were already being severely felt. He had said, You shall cry out in that day because of your king which you shall have chosen you. And so it was. Real and false kingly power. When God created man in his image and said, Let them have dominion. Genesis 1 verse 26. It was not an arbitrary power over the earth which was conferred upon him. He was to have dominion by virtue of that inherent power of the righteousness of the character which was given to him in making him in the image of God. And it was God's plan that the earth should be ruled by the power of his own righteousness as revealed in and through man. After man had fallen into sin, this purpose of God was not changed, although it became necessary to give his own son to become the man, the second Adam, through whom all this should be accomplished. Just in proportion, therefore, as men lived near to God, following in his ways and permitting him to reveal his righteousness in them, so would they have dominion, so would they have stability of character, and thence would follow stability of government. Just in proportion as they departed from God and refused to be obedient to his commandments, and thus permitted sin to have dominion over them, so would they lose their dominion, so would weakness of character assert itself, and thence would follow instability of government. This was the history of the people of God under all their rulers. Apostasy and distress. In his later years Solomon kept not that which the Lord commanded, but his heart was turned away after other gods. Wealth, luxury, and self-indulgence worked out, as in numberless other royal cases, their bitter fruits. The material gifts of God's bounty were perverted to selfish ends. A policy of mere worldly expediency, instead of righteousness, led to alliances with heathen courts. These, in turn, involved increased expenditure, which was met by augmented taxation. Thus was the way prepared for discontent and revolt. A petition disregarded. After the death of Solomon and the accession of Rehoboam, the people came to the new king and said, Your father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore make the grievous service of your father, and his heavy yoke which he put upon us, lighter, and we will serve you. The king consulted with the old men, and they gave wise counsel, saying, If you will be a servant unto this people this day, and will serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, then they will be your servants forever. Then the king consulted with the young men that were grown up with him, and they recommended this reply, My little finger shall he thicker than my father's loins. The new king followed the counsel of the young men and threatened the people with heavier burdens than his father had imposed upon them. The true and the false principle of government. The two replies well represent the difference between the principles of the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. If you will be a servant unto this people, said the old men, and this was the principle upon which God in Jesus Christ deals with the rebellious world. Behold my servant whom I uphold. I am among you as he that serves. Whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Thus does he who is King of kings and Lord of lords relate himself to those whom he would win as his loyal subjects. In marked contrast with this is that arbitrary spirit which would seek to crush under an iron heel every one who should raise a voice against oppression. The one would win by self-sacrifice. The other would drive by an increase of arbitrary power. But instead of being terrified into submission by the threats uttered, the people were driven into open revolt. What portion have we in David? Neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse. To your tents, O Israel, now see to your own house, David. When the tax gatherer came among them, all Israel stoned him with stones, that he died. So Israel rebelled against the house of David unto this day. Thus by disunion and division was the way being prepared for the downfall of the nation and their captivity. The situation today. He who considers the situation among the nations of the earth today cannot fail to see the working of the same influences which brought disaster to Solomon's kingdom. There are nations where the people are groaning under the burden of debt and taxation, and yet their protests, not always wisely made, as in the recent riots in Italy, are met with a display of military power, and no hope is held out that the condition of affairs will be improved. The ruling powers have in many cases so far repudiated the principles of truth and righteousness that there is no sure foundation upon which to build any hope of future reform. The time is near when all these things shall be dissolved, and the only hope of individuals will be that each one has built for himself upon the sure foundation, and other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. E.J. Wagoner.